What's up, everybody? My name is CJ.
And I'm Nate.
And this is Word of Mouth Podcast.
And the word is in our mouth.
Come on, somebody.
First Peter chapter 1 verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul.
Lord, we love you, Jesus, and we praise you, and we thank you for this beautiful day. God, we thank you for the word of the Lord, and we thank you, God, for us being able to study and dive deeper and dig at the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. And Lord, we just pray that you bless those that are listening and continue to bless us as we try to study your word to show ourselves approved. God, we love you and we appreciate you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody.
Well, here we are back again, right back at it. I hope that my little microphone thingy here isn't catching it, but it's raining all of a sudden, and that's a miracle to us because we live in Arizona and it's dry. It's a dry season. So, but it's good to be back. It was a good day of the Lord. I always look forward, if we do a podcast episode, I always look forward to the fact that we get to talk a little bit about our services today and talk about how good the Lord was and God was moving. And we had our old assistant pastor, Brother David Staten, about 6 years ago, left us to go pastor a church in Globe. And he finally came back. His daughter, Aubrey Staten, is getting ready to go to Bangladesh, go hang out with Brother James Corbin.
Amen.
And they're just building a church, man. And so she came and did a little presentation. And
the Holy Ghost was flowing.
Dude.
Come on.
And actually, so we'll talk about it too, but the scripture we just read was from what she had read. And it was fire, man.
Amen.
It was good. And but the Spirit of the Lord moved. And Brother Staten preached a good message. Get your eyes off the wind. You know, stop looking at the wind. And God, it was a good day, Brother Nate. It was a good
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
But we're back at it again. I just want to kind of say that we're going to just try to... We've been doing back to the basics, the book of Acts, going through the book of Acts. And so we've been kind of going chapter by chapter, but we're going to try to go ahead and get through this here in the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
Because we really feel like we need to just move on with some things. Not saying that this isn't important.
No, there's just all kinds of things that we need to get into.
Yeah and sure. I'm still trying to, I still want to do an episode with Pastor, man.
Yeah.
There's
Pastor,
a lot.
You know, there's other things that, the list is really like extensive. And
it
so,
is.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Word of God's so cool, you know, we'll get into two chapters, you know, and we're like,
man.
Yeah, and we're like, man, this is gonna take a year, you know? So what we're gonna try to do is we're gonna expedite, and a lot of the things, you know, we're talking back to basics. Not that these things are elementary in any way, shape, or form, and not that they're not revelatory or necessary. What we're talking about, again, just reiterating the theme of why we did this, is because during the shutdown and during like 2020 and all that, there was a lot of reflection time, and a lot of people realized that they just went to church, that they went to an apostolic church, but they weren't apostolic, that they went to a Pentecostal church, but they weren't really Pentecostal. And so what we're doing here is we're opening up the Word of God, which a lot of the Christian world, a lot of the denominational Christian world, they look at the book of Acts as simply as a transition book, as a narrative, as just a historical book that has no bearing and no value in today's believer's walk. But We know for those that are born again of the water and the Spirit, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, speaking in tongues and being radically changed by the power of God. Amen. We know different. We see people healed. We see the miraculous of
tongues and interpretation
of the gifts of the Spirit. We see the miracle of you know, the great rejoicing at sinners who come and they repent of their sins and are filled with the very Spirit of the living God. And we know better. And so what we're doing is we're trying to highlight key things in the book of Acts that stick out, that are meant to be repetitive in our life. That it wasn't just for our big brother Peter. And if it was for our big brother Peter in the gospel, and if it was for our big brother Paul in the gospel, then it is for us.
Oh yeah.
And so that's what we're doing here today.
I think, so we just had our Arizona Youth Convention, and we had Brother Victor Jackson preach it.
Fire.
And he preached some amazing amazing things. But one thing that really stuck with me was he told the story of when he went to pray for all the people with George Floyd.
Right.
He talked about all the miraculous things that happened with that. And if you don't know, then just go to Arizona Youth page and you can listen to the preaching.
Right.
But a lot of miraculous stuff happened, and a lot of things were going on, and people with suicides and PTSD were calling him, and all kinds of stuff were going on. There were people getting baptized, being healed, and
right.
The one thing that stuck out to me was he just said, "I'm nobody special. Victor Jackson ain't nobody. You've got the same Holy Ghost that I've got. Yeah. You just have to go out and do it."
Right.
And so that's basically what we're talking about. Is like big brother Peter, yeah. Big brother Paul. They had the same Holy Ghost we have today.
Exactly, bro.
So we can move on and we can see people be healed. Exactly. And we can see, and it should be a normal thing.
Right.
It shouldn't be abnormal.
Exactly. It shouldn't be abnormal. And so what we're trying to do, we're getting back to the book of Acts. We're getting back to the basic lifestyles, practices. And that's something that Brother Jackson had mentioned. He's like, we need to stop glorifying mediocrity. We need to stop glorifying, just these, you know, when people are, you know, oh man, that person prays. Well, shouldn't we all pray?
Yeah.
And oh man, that person, you know,
he's a Christian.
This, or he, you know, yeah. Shouldn't we all, you know, that person reads their Bible. Well, we all should read our Bible. And so what we're going to focus on today is, we're going to start in Acts chapter 9 where we left off. We left off with Philip, and we're not doing a commentary and trying to get through everything, but what we are going to do is just highlight some key things and move on. And our hope is within like two episodes, we're going to finish this series and we will be on to the next one.
Amen.
Without further ado, is there, what stands out to you, bro, in Acts chapter 9 besides the fire, you know, of a murderer, Pharisee, Paul, Saul, you know?
You know,
shook.
Man, and that's the truth, is that we were just kind of just chatting about it right before we started doing the episode, but just a genuine encounter with God can really just change your whole life. And
right.
If there's anybody here that truly knows and understands that, it's me and Brother Nate. We were decrepit. We were out there in the world. We were doing drugs and all kinds of stuff. But when we got into the church and we had an encounter with God, it completely changed our world and changed our direction. And in all reality, that's exactly what should be happening to many of you, is that you should have an encounter with God to the point where, number one, it changes your life. Where with Paul, it changed his life to the point where he stopped persecuting Christians and became one.
Right.
And he started going out and preaching. And I found this to be interesting. We were talking about it a little bit, but it was in Acts chapter 9, and we see that he goes and he becomes blind, goes to Ananias, and he goes there and all of a sudden they pray and
receives
the Holy Ghost. But in verse 20 it says this, backtrack, 19, it says, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples, which were in Damascus." Now, we don't know how long certain days were.
Right.
But he did spend a little bit of time with the disciples.
Right.
But it's not like all of us that spend years and years and years learning.
Years.
Yeah. And then we go out.
Yeah.
It's like he spent a couple days, and because of his background of studying the scriptures and understanding, it just, the Holy Ghost added to it.
Boom.
And so it says in verse 20, "And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, and that he is the Son of God." But all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is this not this that he destroyed them which called on the name of in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" They're amazed because the flip was so quick. You're killing Christians one day and you're now with them. Yeah. What happened? Mm-hmm. But I guess the main message is that he had enough information that when the Holy Ghost came, all it did was confirm everything he knew about the Old Testament was Christ.
Yeah, it quickened the word within him. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, you know, who art thou, Lord?
Yeah.
And he's like, "I am Jesus."
Boom.
Oh,
changed
boom.
His
life. I'm grass, withering away.
And I think why he wrote that he that cometh to God must believe that he is.
Right. And if you keep reading verse 22, so after that, he's preaching Christ. You know, he's a new believer, but he begins to do exactly what the book of Acts says in Acts chapter 1. Mm-hmm. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power to be a witness. And so legit, we see Acts chapter 1 coming to life in Acts chapter 9.
With
Paul's life. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the thing is he didn't know everything. He didn't know all of Christ's life and all of these things. He did not necessarily. But as he began to spend time with the disciples, they began to, teach him, and he could reason with them through the scriptures. But in verse 22, it says, "But Saul increased the more in strength." Mm-hmm. So as he began to go, and this is the key, is Jesus goes with goers.
Come on.
Jesus goes with goers.
That's
and
fire.
So as Jesus went, so did Paul. As Paul went, so did Jesus. And he was strengthened in Paul's weakness of not knowing everything. Uh-huh. He began to know things because God would quicken in his mind. It would build his strength and he would get callous skin. And you know what I mean? And then it says, "And he confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ-like." The thing is he was stumping these guys.
That to the God point where was, they,
yeah,
and to they're the point like, where they wanted to kill him.
They want to kill him. And that's how you know when you're winning people. You know, this ain't how to win friends and influence people, but you know, when you begin to really just, I don't know, you've been in those conversations where you just have Bible for Bible for Bible for Bible for Bible proven to you, whether, Jesus' name baptism or the infilling of the Holy Ghost or Jesus is, the mighty God was in Christ. And people just, they want to start wrecking you, So just, hey.
Watched where people legit get mad. Like they're ready to leave.
They're ready to leave or they want to smash you, bro.
Yeah,
So,
see ya.
I don't know. That's fire for me. It's like, look, when Paul was converted, and we know that he went away. He stayed in Damascus for 3 years, studying, learning. But we see that immediately, whatever the certain day amount of days was. But we see it wasn't, like you said, years of, and we got to get out of that mentality. Now, again, there is a, he did know the word of God. He did know these things, So for those that, don't know, that's different, But
yeah, that's when
but the thing is he began to be a witness. And mm-hmm. the same for you. When you see the Holy Ghost, you don't have to go to church for 100 years.
Yeah.
Until you tell someone about that Jesus is the Son of God.
No. You just can go off and say, look, I know I was one way, but now I'm different.
Right.
I'm kind of stealing this. I don't know if you've seen The Chosen.
No, I haven't.
Bro, but I'm crooked. Well, anyway, or I'm crooked.
No,
but
you're good, bro.
In the first episode, Mary Magdalene, she says this, or it's like the third episode, she says, "I knew I was one way, but then I was different, and everything that happened in between was him."
Oh, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, and so just, that's what happened to him. He's like, look, I was one way, but now, and it was him.
Amen.
And all I could tell you is that Jesus is the Son of God. Come on, somebody.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So before we leave chapter 9, there's a lot of fire right there, and y'all need to read your Bible so that you can get in it. And that's not, we're not trying to be a supplement for you reading your Bible. We're not a supplement for you going to church. This is extracurricular activity trying to just ignite you and ignite a passion in you. Me and Brother Garcia, we're not your pastor, so don't be like, I go to Word of Mouth Church. That's not what this is about. We're here. We're here to simply just edify you, encourage you. And I want to point in the direction at the end of chapter 9 Peter, he's in Joppa, and there's a woman, her name's Tabitha, but they call her Dorcas. But what's fire is this lady dies.
Yeah.
She's dead. And everybody's upset because, you know, she was a kind of a pillar in the city. Everybody knew her. And let's see. She dies. They send for Peter. In verse 39, it says, then Peter arose and he went with them. The thing is that he wasn't intimidated by somebody being dead.
For sure. Well, he saw Christ just raise people up from the dead. So it's like, oh, somebody's dead. Let me just, okay. Cool.
Exactly. So it says, then Peter arose, he went with them, and when he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made. They're having a memorial service. Like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
Nobody can do what she's done. She's, you know, what are we going to do? She benefited the community, and she probably, you know, hell, I could just imagine her selling her coats and selling this, providing, you know. She was a giver, and she, you know, probably gave coats out to those who had no coats, you know. And the thing is this lady obviously was loved for a reason, because she loved people. So, you know, they're right there, and they're having them, and she's, which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth. And he kneeled down and he prayed. He got down to business. He's like, hey, look, you call me here for a reason. You call me here to have, you know, a pageant show.
Yeah. For real, huh?
You know? And he turning to the, it says, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. The thing is, you're like, that's encouragement to me. I have yet to see a physically dead person rise from the dead.
But,
by the grace of God and Lord willing, like, if I'm in that situation, the thing is we look at things as not as they are, but as they can be.
Oh yeah.
And yet, though you may be dead, you can be alive. And the thing is I feel like that's a key thing as far as looking at what the origin, the OG apostolic believers, how they operated.
And how they saw things and how
yeah,
they looked.
He's like, yeah. No, I know Jesus so much. I know him and I know his potential. And the thing is, The widows didn't seem like they're having Peter over to raise him from the dead. They're like, yeah. Oh my goodness, Peter. Like, and, you know, and there's a time and place for that. I'm not saying that every funeral, you know, but I'm just saying, Peter walked in there knowing who God was and what he can do, and he put them forth. He's like, and maybe it was just while he was there. The thing is that, of course, we need to, like, hearing the voice of God by Jeff Arnold, we got to understand, you know. We don't know God spoke to Peter or whatnot, you know. But I believe, obviously, that something happened. Peter's like, no, we're going to pray right now. He kneeled down and he prayed. Mm-hmm. And obviously, when he prayed, he got a word and he said, it's right. Tabitha, get up.
Yep.
And she did. And the thing is that people believe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's an apostolic...
Real quick, what's funny is that, number one, I think, I remember we've been invited to a lot of wakes, which a wake is, it's like a 2 or 3 day funeral, almost procession, before they bury the loved one. And
it's a Native American.
Yeah,
we live close to reservation, and it's kind of their kind of tradition. So
yeah, so anyway, I remember we were singing at one of them, and we were just, you know, talking and praying with people. But you had gone in to one of them, into the house, and they have the body there.
Inside the house, yeah.
And I remember you just saying, like, I walked in there, and I was just saying, God,
if it's your will.
If it's your will, let them raise up right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the original thought, is that if they maybe they're not dead, right?
Right. Or maybe they're sleeping.
Maybe they're sleeping, so they're going to wake up.
Yeah, oh, that's why they call it a wake, is because they wait to see if they'll wake up.
Yeah.
You know? And, yeah, it was actually a sister in our church. And the thing is, like, because we all know the potential of the Lord.
Right.
Now, whether or not we believe that.
See, now, yeah.
And so we go, and we're like, I remember, I didn't know the body was inside. I didn't know the young man was inside. And when they told me, I'm like, whoa. But immediately it was like,
I know he could raise
him. Understanding the potential that the Lord could raise him from the dead.
For sure.
You know? But then there's that shackle of fear on your foot that keeps you from going, in which God goes with the goers. And Peter went in there, and he's like, and then he didn't just go in there. He got down on his knees.
Yep, and started praying, yep.
And so, but a sister in our church, Sister City, I believe, it might have been her or somebody else too, but they're like, she looked at me like, are you going to pray? And I was like, already feeling it, you know? And I'm like, well, now I am, you know?
Wait, did you?
Yeah, you put me on the spot, you know?
But I was already feeling it. Yeah. Yeah. No,
and so, you know, I went in there and it said, like, do not touch the body and things like that. And so I didn't get all crazy and stretch out over him, you know? But just, I spent a little time right there and you know, he didn't raise from the dead. But the thing is, this was something my brother Fish always said. He said, if someone doesn't get healed, it's not because I didn't ask.
Exactly.
If someone doesn't raise from, you know, no one's going to get raised from the dead if you don't pray that they get raised from
the
dead.
For real, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so I'll be the nut guy, you know? I'll be that guy, you know? That's fine. Because when the one dead person comes up.
You're going to be the guy. Yeah, I know.
You know?
You're going to be like, I told you so.
I'm going to be like, God, yes, you know, I will rejoice. And
for real.
And
well, see, and then so the second thing was, is one time I remember Grandma Savala, she's an elder in our church, she's also my grandma through marriage, but she used to go, you know, she's 92. So she's seen a lot. And so I was just one day, I was just sitting with her and I said, Grandma, what's the craziest thing you ever seen? And that's what she said.
She's seen somebody raised
from
the dead.
She said, I saw somebody raised from the dead.
Yeah. And there's another elder in our church, Elder Brother Soto. He did a lot of work in Mexico, many churches there. And there's a testimony of one church specifically. I don't know the city. I don't know. It's probably, you know,
I would have butchered it.
Yeah. But there was a lady there who was the, like, a pillar of the church, a prayer warrior, you know, a pillar, and she died.
Oh, snap.
And everybody's like, what are we going to do? Like, this lady is what's keeping us all together type deal. And I think it wasn't just a couple hours, and it was like over a day, maybe 2 days. I can't remember. I'll have to ask and confirm, but it was a hot minute. She was dead. And they all, as a church, gathered together and they prayed, and she was raised from the dead.
Crazy. Cool.
And I believe that there's another man, I think Arturo, he knows
the lady.
Either he was, or that was the church where he's from. We have a man who's from Mexico who actually, you know, wound up moving to the same city that, you know, Brother Soto's in the United States, and he comes to our church.
Yep.
But I believe that he was also either a witness, or it was like in a town near him, and he knows. And so, you know, he's seen people raised from the dead. Sister Sabala's seen people raised from the dead. You know, we have evangelists and pastors.
Well, the whole world knows about Brother Lee Stone King.
Yeah.
He addressed the United Nations with his story about being raised from the dead. So it can happen.
Exactly.
And in fact, it tripped me out right now. I said crazy, but I should have said normal.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, I think the apostolic key note would be not people raising from the dead, but you as a believer understanding that the potential of the Lord
anything,
again, like what brother Jackson, he preached about breaking limitations, is like, who cares how long they've been dead? Who cares what's going on? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? God can make new eyeballs. God can make new brain. God can make a new heart. God can do anything. He can speak. And you know, we're here because of words that were spoken. And so I feel like the apostolic keynote to that is understanding, like Peter understood, I know who Jesus is, and I know the potential. He recollected the things that he's already seen.
You have Lazarus that's dead, yeah.
He remembered the mighty works, and he's like, man, if he did it before,
he can do it again. Come on,
fire. Moving on.
I like that was good.
We're going to jump to chapter 10. So the Bible says that at the end of 9 that, you know, Peter, he raised that lady, you know, the Lord raised that lady from the dead in Joppa. And Peter's in Joppa. And we're going to talk about Cornelius just a smidge right here. Is that in Acts chapter 10 is where, you know, the Holy Ghost is poured out on Cornelius' house. And we're not going to read it all, but we know, and if you don't know, read it. The Holy Ghost is poured out on
Cornelius. Or even go back to one of our baptism episodes, because we've talked
about it a bunch of times. But the Holy Ghost is poured out. But the thing is what we wanted to point out was that Cornelius, you know, he was uncircumcised. He was of the Italian band. He was not a Jew. He was not a Christian. He was none of these things. But he was a man that feared God, that prayed and gave alms to the poor and the needy. And what we were talking about before we began to record was that there are people in your city. There are people in your family. There's people in your city. There's people that are in your community that they serve and seek, to the best of their ability. They're praying and they're hungry and they're trying to do what they feel like is right. And there's the thing is Cornelius, he was serving. He knew. He wasn't just like, oh, whatever random God. He was serving the God of the Jews. He knew. Right. He knew that. And so there's people out there, they might not understand the mighty God in Christ. They might not understand. They're uncircumcised. They don't look like you. Mm-hmm. They don't talk like you. And, you know, they think it's predicated on good deeds or whatever you might have, yeah. You know. The thing is that there's people out there. God didn't just pour out his spirit on some random Gentile.
Right. Right.
God didn't just fill up some random house that wasn't looking for him,
right.
That wasn't seeking him, that wasn't hungry. And I think that this is a key thing is that as spirit-led evangelism where, you know, being led by the Spirit to those that are hungry in your city. And you could tell, you could talk to somebody and you're like, you know, you got something. Mm-hmm. You know something. You mentioned something about pastor and this lady.
Yeah, so just kind of going along with the whole people that are outside of the church that don't look like you and pray for you, but they pray,
right.
Is that when our pastor went down with COVID and we were all just praying, we had churches in Arizona praying, we had thousands, I think thousands of churches in the United States praying.
Right.
And anyway, we have a sister in Sierra Vista who she goes to a... She works at like almost like a Baptist school, but it's a Christian type
right,
of school.
Yeah, right.
And she was talking about something. Well, a lady had come that she's not apostolic. She doesn't look anything like us, nothing, but she's a praying woman. And she comes up to Amber and she says, look, I was praying. And I hope I'm getting this right, but I know the gist of it's right. Is that she said, I was praying.
She saw a vision.
And she saw a vision of our pastor laying there.
And
there
angels.
Were angels standing. And what's in crazy, yeah, and what's crazy is my wife was just praying. It was like the day before. She said, God, show me that you have angels. I want to know that there's angels in the room.
Ministering to him.
And God spoke to this lady. I feel the Holy Ghost,
come
bro.
On,
God spoke to this lady who's not an apostolic, but right. She's a praying lady. Right. That's what was going on.
Exactly. And so, I've met people, bro, out on the street, you know.
Yeah.
When we're preaching on the street or, you know, you're, you know, at the grocery store, man, me and my wife, you can't go to the grocery store and you can be in there 2 hours because you're going to run into somebody and start talking about Jesus, you know,
yeah.
And which is great, you know, like I love that, you know.
Well, pastor got to experience that at Home Depot.
Yeah, me and my, I tell my pastor, man, I don't know what it is, but, you know, that God's not like with Saul. The thing is he told Paul, he said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Is that God was reaching Paul already. It wasn't some random event. I believe that God had been reaching for Paul. Like when he saw Stephen Stone, the thing is, and other things, I believe it, God was pricking Paul's conscience, and he's like, it's hard for you to resist what I'm trying to do. I've been trying to reach you.
Yeah.
And now finally, boom, you're down here and I'm trying to get through to you. And you're blind now, but you've seen a great light. And he's like, well, who are you, Lord?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm Jesus. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, the same thing with Cornelius. Like, this man's already seeking God to the best of his ability.
Yeah.
And I feel like just as an apostolic church, we can't pick and choose. We can't, you know, we can't pull like, oh, I only like the pink jelly beans, you know, or they don't look like, you know. So we got to be receptive to who God is working on already.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? I don't care how many hooks they have in their ear, in their face. I don't care if they got a throat tattoo. I don't care, you know, their hair's pink. Is that God could be, you know, God, whoever God's working on already via their conscience, via their life, what, you know, whatever the case may be, mm-hmm. is being sensitive to the spirit that's within you and being a witness. And I always want to mention this right here, is Acts chapter 10, Peter's in Joppa. Mm. And the thing is if we do a little quick history of what Joppa is God birthed a revival. It's beginning in Joppa of the Gentile nation.
Yeah.
They were the first ones. And the thing is Joppa, if you look back in the Old Testament, Joppa was the same place that Jonah was in when he's running from the call of God. He's running from, the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, like verse 3, it says that Jonah was running from the presence of God. He was in Joppa. He's trying to go to Tarshish to get on a boat, to get away from God, flee the presence, because he didn't want to preach to a people that were not Jews. They were Gentile heathens. And he's like, I don't want them to be saved. I don't want them to repent. I want them to burn and perish and be murdered. And so he was trying to get away from God.
Amen.
And now we see 800 years later in the same city, we see a man named Peter. And the Bible says, son of Jonah, John chapter 21, son of Jonas. You know, coincidence, maybe, irrelevant, maybe. But either way, we see Peter in Joppa 800 years later, same city, except this man is not running from God. He's running to God. He's not running from the presence. He's walking with the presence. And we see him, we see God doing a work in the heathen nation 800 years later through a man. And, you know, we know Amen. Peter's in a place. God gives him a vision. And he's like, what I've called clean, don't call common. And, you know, we know that he's talking, you know, people say, oh, he's just talking about food and whatnot. He's not. Literally, he's talking about the Gentile people. And Peter goes, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, and this is something that I feel like we all need to get a hold of, is that in Acts chapter 10, 19, so while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, again, the Spirit speaks, God speaks. It said, behold, three men seek thee. Very specific. Amen. God will give you specific words. Amen. Sure. And so we see that God spoke. He said, three men seek thee. And then he says, arise therefore and get thee down. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And what Peter went with them. The thing is that that's something like about the dead lady, Dorcas, and all these things is that God wants you to just, those unctions of the Holy Ghost, that's the key thing, is doubting nothing.
Yep.
I just had a vision, super random, and then I feel God just tell me right now that there's three men right here, and knock, 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 and then he opens the door, there's three men, and he's like, so I know, and yep. God already told me don't doubt, so I'm going to go for it. Yeah. And the thing is it was against the law to go into a Gentile, an uncircumcised person's house, but he's like, God, whatever God's doing, I don't know. And the thing is breaking our limitations again is like, we as apostolic, Jesus said this in Mark 7:13. He said, you make the word of God of none effect because of the traditions of man. And I'm paraphrasing that.
Right, right.
But he basically says, he's like, you care more because of the traditions that you're taught of men, you make the word of God of none effect.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, again, right here is that he could have made the word of God that was spoken to him, the vision that was spoken to him, go with him, the three men,
yep.
go and preach to them. He could have made the word of God, that rhema word of none effect, if he would have held on to the tradition that, well, they're not circumcised. And he could have judged by their appearance, and he could have made the word of God that was spoken to him of none effect.
Yep.
And so us as apostolics, we got to keep the main thing, and that is Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he wants to save souls, and they might not fit your description, they might not look like you, but the thing is that we must be a bridge builder to those so that they, not so that we can go to the other side and be in shenanigans with them, but we must build the bridge sometimes so that they can climb across to us.
Amen. Yep.
And not to our organization, but to the truth.
Yeah.
To the fullness of the truth. This man was walking in the light that he had. And the thing is, but that wasn't enough. And if it was enough, God would have let him alone. But we know that all that, why, I don't know, that's some kind of doctrine. I don't know the name of it, but where there, whatever light you know, that's what you're going to be judged by. Obviously, God's like, hey, check it out. I'm going to send you a preacher. Mm-hmm. And he's going to tell you what you must do. That's what the angel said.
Yeah. And yeah. Yep.
So that was just something I just wanted to throw
in. No, and that's fire, because it's just, it's like you said, the whole premise of breaking limitations is that Brother Jackson had noticed that everything is square.
Right.
And so oftentimes we like to say, oh, don't put God in a box, but we like to sit in our box and not ever reach outside of it because it's not in our normal.
Right. Thing. We think God likes us to be in a box.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, God, you're not in a box, but I'm not going to follow your vision because that's not what I do. And so he definitely was just like, don't doubt. Like, it's not going to be something you're used to.
It's out of the box.
Yeah.
It's out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to have to send, I'm going to have to give you a vision. I'm going to have to give you a rhema word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just saw someone raised from the dead in the same city. You're chilling in the city 800 years ago where, you know, one of the greatest revivals took, you know, was birthed, you know, or whatever. Yep. And I don't know, man. I think that's just cool little tidbit.
And so then something that I want to point out too, just along the lines of just so we can get out of Acts 10, but the thing is we as apostolics, we need to have an answer. Give an answer, you know.
Amen. I mean?
And when the whole thing is God was using Peter, and Peter knew the answer, and he knew what he needed to start the revival in the Gentile nation. And so then he goes and preaches and he says, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Let's get you do that. Boom, baptized, and his whole house is baptized and then filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Boom.
Yeah.
So, fire.
Fire.
Just fire.
Yeah.
And then in Acts 11, here's where things get kind of sticky for Peter, in a sense.
Well, because why? Because he went out of the box.
Yep. And they wanted him to just preach the message to the people that are saved.
Right.
But so he goes over and he's like, all right, let me tell you what God's doing. And he starts telling them that God is reaching for the Gentiles. And this is what happens.
It says in verse 2 of chapter 11, it says, and they that were of the circumcision contended with him.
Yeah.
Saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and you ate with them? How dare you?
Man.
Because the thing is you could be saved so long that you forget the mission.
Come on,
you forget what is going on, bro. And you can only be with people that look like you, that talk like you.
Again, traditions of
bro. Dude. And the thing is that it's not hard for our perspective to get messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our pastor Satan preached about tonight is that. You preach about Matthew 14, I believe, you know, they're on the ship and Jesus walking on the water, the storm and all that. And he's like, don't get so comfortable in the ship because the ship could become a danger for you. And this is a prime example.
Yeah.
Is that they got the Holy Ghost, you know, and they've been having revival amongst the Jews. It's great, you know, because this is what's been promised. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, you know, and that he's going to save the Jews and we're receiving the spirit.
Yeah.
And now things are happening. But wait, what curveball? You went over there to who? And you sat down with who? And you ate with who?
In a sense, it's almost like they hit what the Pharisees were saying to Jesus.
Exactly.
Because they would just say, we don't sit down with sinners.
Right. And let's just address this real quick is that there is, you know, and, you know, maybe we'll get into this later, but there is a religious aptitude in human beings. And the thing is that it's not evil until it becomes evil. If that means, I'm trying to be careful. But the thing is that we can get so inept and preoccupied and crippled by the traditions, right? And the thing is, and which is what happened with the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And we see that what you're saying exactly is that it kind of began to happen is that this is how we do things. This is how we have our church. This is how we do. This is what God did before, or, you know, us for no more, this type of thing. But, you know, that's not how God intended it. And we already know from the Old Testament that God intended to reach the Gentiles. Even yeah. Jesus said, he's like, I have a sheepfold that, he said that I have other sheep. I have another sheepfold. There's other people out there that you don't even know about.
When he looks at the Syrophoenician woman and who's begging for just her daughter to be healed, he looks at her and says, your time has not come
Your time has not come, yeah.
And she just says, I'll just take crumbs, you know. And so I've always heard it preached, he reached into the future.
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
And brought it back for her. Yeah, there's a sheepfold out there that you don't even know.
Right. And the thing is let's be fair, is us as human beings, we don't handle change very well.
Yeah, we don't.
You know what I'm saying? So I remember Brother Fish, he said that, I can't remember what it was, but they had like an explosion of revival in their church. He's like, we had people with no shirts on. We had people, we had dudes that were, you know, on drugs with no shirt on in church.
Yeah.
You know, they took their shirt, they're hot, and so they take their shirt off. And he's so like, funny. You know, some people in church are like, oh no, bless God, like, we're not going to have that, you know. But at the same time, you're like, you know, what do you do? What I mean?
Yeah.
We're trying to, it's not always going to look the way you think it should look.
Right.
You know? I remember listening to Pat. He's not Pat. He's an evangelist, Reverend Gordon Poe, and he's talking about when he got saved. He said like they would be singing like "Amazing Grace," and he would just start, "Woo, woo, yeah, woo," you know, and he'd run the aisles.
Come on.
And he's just like, you know, and he would say, "Hit me." He'd be like, give me another hit. Because like, he came from the drug world, you know.
And for that's real.
He's like, when I wanted to feel something, he's like, I would say, give me another hit.
Come
you
on.
Know? He's like, I didn't know the lingo. I didn't know the words, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so, I don't know, man.
Well, see, that's the other thing. I heard one preacher say one time, he's like, look, we try to act like we're some King James poets when we pray. So we're like, thou, oh, thou Lord, please, thou touchest my
thither.
Yeah. He's like, but I heard this one dude, he just got the Holy Ghost. He walks up, he's like, look, God, check it out. Like, and like, the thing is, God still answered that dude's prayer, but it didn't fit your description of how a prayer should be.
Exactly, bro.
Man, that's fire.
And so, you know,
that's good.
Don't put God in a box, and you don't get put in a box. And don't limit God, and don't limit yourself.
Amen.
And don't limit based on perception on who is, who's worthy of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like,
amen. Who are you to judge?
Yeah, who are you to say, oh, well, that lady, you know?
Yeah, nope.
And
you're just making yourself like God, and I'm sorry, bro. God will strike you down.
Yeah, bro. And the thing is,
like,
I don't know, man.
I get it.
I know, because I was the demoniac of my city, you know, just not in my right mind and all kinds of things, bro. And so I know. And for those of you, you know, that feel like you know, we address this, that you don't have you didn't do anything, or you feel like this or that, you know, the thing is that God wants to use each and every one of us to be a witness some way, somehow, to edify and to provoke one another to good works. And there's nothing greater, nothing more good than doing what the good master did, which was going out and ministering to the lost, the broken, those that are captive, and those that are brokenhearted. You know what I mean?
Yep. And that the whole point is that, like Jesus said, those that are healed and not sick, they don't need a physician.
Yeah, that's...
But those who are sick, they need it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So let's keep going.
Chapter 12, the death of James. Okay, we won't really...
You know, the thing is what we see is we begin to see Peter get put into prison. We see that we see that he goes into prison and an angel busts him out of prison. Again, we've talked about angels and this kind of thing. Let's fast forward. Did you want to say something?
Well, I was just going to say that here at around 12 is where we start to see This is kind of what we were talking about too. But around 12 and on is when you start to see just the prison ministry of every of almost all the like at Peter and Paul, and that's basically what why we had read or we felt I felt right to read that scripture was that
the opening scripture.
Yeah, was that these people they're going through prisons, but. And whatever trial you're going through, whatever issue, maybe I don't know what you're dealing with, but know that your tests and your trials all lead up to the glorious power of God,
right?
And that you can make it, you know. So I thought it was appropriate to read the fact that, you know, I'll just say First Peter.
Yeah, let me go back verse real quick. Like six, probably.
Sorry.
No, you're good. There. Chapter 1, verse like 6 or something like that.
First Peter, you know, it says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold, gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, Amen. Who having not seen ye love, in whom thou now you have seen him, or you haven't seen him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's like your trial. That's what they didn't care. They just went to prison, but they knew.
Amen.
And Peter's the one. He went to prison. And he's like, dude, I know that through the tests and trials of my faith, it's more precious than gold.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on. So fast forward a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna mention something right here in Acts chapter 13.
Okay.
This is where Paul and Barnabas they're sent out on. He begins his missionary journey to go and spread the gospel in all of Asia. But I wanted to point out something that's apostolic. Before I go into that, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 10. And the Bible says this. It says, Matthew 10, 1, it says, and when he had called unto him the 12 disciples, and he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Jumping to verse 7, it says, And as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, and freely go, freely give, excuse me. And again, in Luke, it recounts the same thing. I'm going to check it out. Luke chapter 9, I believe it is. It says that he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, Luke 9 and 2. And that word sent, the word is apostello. That means the sent out ones. And so
that's almost where you get the word apostolic.
That's where apostolic comes from. Apostolic means those that are sent. And the Bible even says in Hebrews that the first apostle, that Jesus is the chief apostle.
Yeah, yeah.
That he was, I don't know what chapter that is. It's going to bother me. But anyways, the apostolic thing is being sent out and to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, to challenge and to cast out darkness. And what Amen. We see is when Paul and Barnabas begin their ministry, right here we see they come to this place, and it says, I'm in verse 6, and when they had gone through to the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country. He was with the leader. So we see that the leadership was being tainted and corrupted by a false doctrine, a spiritual wickedness in high places, if you will. And the Bible says this. His name was Sergius Paulus. I'm just trying to say his name. A prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, withstood them. So spiritual wickedness is withstanding them, and he's seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So we see that there's the clash immediately when Paul and Barnabas are sent out preaching the gospel, doing exactly what Jesus told the 12 to do, they go out, and immediately they're contending against darkness. They're contending against the spiritual wickedness in high places. It says, then Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, oh, fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind and not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And what I want to point out is it is very apostolic. It's, well, you know what? You know what's not apostolic? That what's not apostolic is letting the devil do you dirty.
Come on now.
What's not apostolic is saying, you know what? We're just going to just not, we're not going to confront that. We're not going to, we're just, you know, let them have that. And, you know, oh, well, you know. No, what's apostolic is when Paul's trying to reach this man. And yep. He sees the influence of the devil. He sees the spiritual wickedness. And literally, the thing is, we think spiritual warfare is just like, oh, you know, you wanted to watch something bad on your phone and all the devil's after you. But spiritual warfare, this is some spiritual warfare. Not just, it's showing yourself in the physical.
Yeah, for sure.
Can I get a witness via, you know, clap your hands in your car right now if you've ever tried to teach a Bible study. And the person's cousin or the person's dad or or who knows, God only knows what. Every devil in hell tries to steal that Bible study. Or, you know, You know, you're invited to someone to church and they get the Holy Ghost and every devil in hell wants to pull them out. And every, you know, everybody's a self-proclaimed guru now or whatever the case is. Paul sits right here. He's like, I'm trying to reach this man's soul. And this man, he's a leader.
Yep.
And the thing is that, and he, Paul's reaching him, and he sees the spiritual wickedness influence him. And you know what? He confronts it.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that you got to, you know, curse people and make them be blind. But the thing is there's a place that we need to be with the Lord, knowing that if I just walk away and not confront this wickedness, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Right, right, right.
And you know, I am going to read it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For this is first. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, and 4 and 5. The Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And Paul's speaking first-hand knowledge. He's like, I remember when I first went out on my mission and I confronted this sorcerer.
Yeah.
But he's saying it wasn't his flesh.
Yeah.
It was the devil.
Yeah.
And he's like, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And the thing is Paul, he knows firsthand. He's been in places.
Yep.
Early days of his missionary, you know, life, he's confronting sorcerers. And the thing is you might think, oh, they're just weird people, or you'd be surprised. The Bible says that we war that there's spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yep.
And we see that Paul, he's confronting that right here in Acts chapter 13, and it's apostolic.
And it happens again.
For the faith. Yeah,
it happens again eventually when we get to it, where this lady's following him.
Yeah.
And we know that that's not... let me see here. Is that Acts?
Yeah, that's
14? In Acts 14, it's fire because we were just talking about it too, was that Paul... He heals somebody, and the people that are around there, they start calling them gods. You know, they start saying, "Hey,
they call them like Jupiter."
Yeah, they start being, "Oh, the gods have come down with us," and they're like, "No, no, no, whoa, 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 we're not like gods. It's all for Christ." But if I do have something to say on that, is I will say this: is that if you're following any man that's flesh and blood, that claims to be God, and claims to know that he's the only one that knows the truth, and that he's the only one that does that, and he tells you to do some things that are not in the Bible,
or worship him,
and then that's a cult.
Yeah.
And you better walk away from there real quick, because literally I've been listening to a podcast, it's called Cults, and every single one of them, bro, they say, I'm Jesus Christ incarnate. I'm going to be the one that brings in the second coming of the Lord. I know the scriptures and you don't. Don't do this. Don't do that. All I got to say is that basically that could have happened. Paul could have got that big head and said, you're right. I just, through the power of God, I just healed this person. And maybe I am a God.
Right.
Maybe I am. No. He said, look, it wasn't my doing.
The Bible says that when he heard what they're saying, he rent his clothes.
He got mad.
To the Jews, renting your clothes is an outward expression of your inward, like, disgust, your pain.
Yeah.
And it pained him that people were looking at him as if it's him.
Yeah.
And the thing is I feel like that's key, is Peter and Dorcas and the lame man. He's like, hey, don't look at me. I didn't heal this man. He's like, it was at the name of Jesus.
Yep.
I didn't. They're like, what name? You know, or who, what power? He's like, why are you looking at me? I am just, he's like, you know, they even looked. They're like, man. They're unlearned. He's like, but we can tell they've been with Jesus.
Yep.
You know, he's like, it ain't me, bro. It's not me. You know, and
it's him.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. Exactly.
I guess we can just.
We might just end it right there. I mean, we covered some good stuff.
Yeah.
I want to say that we'll close right here. Back in chapter 13. Paul, he goes there in. I believe they're in Antioch, which is fire, is the people that called Christian, they called Paul Christian. It wasn't him and his crony, you know, or his cronies, that's not a good word. It wasn't him and his, like, his people that were like, you know, well, let's call each other Christians. No, the people in the world saw them and said that they're Christ-like.
Right, yeah.
We've heard about this Jesus, and they remind me of that Jesus I heard them talk about.
Yeah.
And so, that speaks to me as, like, I want the community that I live in, I don't want to go and proclaim, I am a Christian. I'd rather them say,
that dude,
he's a Christian.
There's something about him.
Yeah, he reminds me of that Jesus guy.
Yep.
You know?
And that's what my Bible study, Daisy, had said. She was reading her Bible, and she saw in Acts 1 where it says, and you shall receive power after that, Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be a witness. She had said that it doesn't say that you shall do witness, that you shall be a witness. And it's not just like, she wasn't doubting that you go out and be a witness, but she said that we should be so filled with the power of the Holy Ghost that it should change our outward appearance. It should change our speech. It should change the way we walk and talk. And it's like, now people look at you and they're like, yeah, that dude's a Christian.
Amen. So I was going to end with this, is that we live in a world where, you know, everybody, we're talking about Christians, everybody's a quote unquote Christian, you know, but not everybody likes to obey the word of God. And so we see Paul in Acts 13, verse 44, and I'll read down a little bit. It says, and the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city together to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
So these things, signs and wonders and all these things are breaking out. People, the whole city's coming to hear the word of God now. It says, but when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. The thing is, it was like, people started flocking to the truth, and it makes the religious system, you want to slap a beehive, you know, you go to the street corner, you start teaching Bible studies, and people start flocking to the truth. The old-time religious denominational systems, you know, and the old-time, whatever, false doctrine you have it. Specifically in our town, there is a stronghold of a certain doctrine, a certain false doctrine. And I'm telling you that, for instance, we go preach on the street, and the other day a man walked by, and he's a pillar in this church. And I recognize him, and we tried to talk to him about Jesus. And he said of what persuasion that he was of, the Mormon persuasion. And we very politely and in love just said that, we say what we said very politely. And within, 2 or 3 minutes, there was 3 policemen on the corner blocking the street coming to talk to us.
Yeah.
And, but the thing is, people don't like it.
Yeah.
But the thing is it's irrelevant. And the Bible says this. Then Paul and Barnabas, they waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. But God wants to reach those like Cornelius who are looking for God, who have an idea about God. But if you judge yourself unworthy because you don't want to hear the word of God, he said, we're going to go to those who have no idea about this God. And the Bible says, for so he hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. They're like, we're gonna magnify the word of the Lord. We're going to obey the word of the Lord. Hey, you don't want to, you religious people, you judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life. But glory to God, if you obey the word of God, you could got it. Let's be apostolic. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word. I pray a blessing, Lord, on those that would be apostolic in word and in deed, obeying the truth of the gospel. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God, so much. Be blessed, everybody. We love you.
Come on, somebody.